Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in Big Ten basketball. It's chaos. Absolute chaos. Big Ten basketball power rankings. You try to do them, you think about it, and you're like, oh, that looks pretty good. And then you think about it a little bit more, and then you're like, oh, that looks terrible. Then you think about it a little bit more, and you're like, actually, that looks okay. Then you think about it a little bit more, and then you say, oh, that's terrible. And then you finally get to a spot where you want to post it on Twitter, and then everybody tells you it's terrible. Kent, is this your experience as well?
100%. And so because of that, this is actually the first week where I waited until this morning. Sometimes I do it on Sunday night, but I waited until this morning and then I had to take my kids to school. My dog just knocked something over on my bookcase behind me also. And because of all those reasons that I just said, including my dog, I put the least amount of effort I possibly could into this week's power rankings. I was like, you know what? Bing, bang, boom. This is how it's going to look, and people can be mad if they want to, but I felt like it was fine for what it is, for where we're at in this point of the season, I think.
Yeah, don't act casual Big Ten. I will say you did get it right that you have Iowa over Indiana. Iowa beat Indiana, right? So you have them over them. You have Maryland over Illinois. Maryland beat Illinois. So I think for the most part, as far as like close teams that have beaten each other, we're pretty good. Did Maryland and Michigan play? I don't think they played. Have
No,
they?
they haven't. And then the one that I didn't do that with, though, was I still kept Minnesota in front of Washington, if you're looking at the
Oh,
bottom
that's
end of the
right.
rankings, because I'll just explain this real quickly because I don't know if we'll ever get to the bottom. I still think Minnesota's wins are better than Washington's, and I am embarrassed that I got that wrong. That's like the one pick I made on this show where I kept saying like Minnesota's for sure going to beat Washington. I was wrong. Hands up. I was wrong. I DM'd somebody this weekend. Somebody DM'd me and asked for picks, and the first pick that I gave them was completely off. I can't do picks. I'm just not a good like picker. That's what it is. I just can't figure it out.
It's really tough to do.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's actually really tough to
Philip's not
do.
hearing none of it. Philip is not, he's not giving you any excuses, man.
Excuses for what? Like, 'cause I was wrong about the Minnesota thing? Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I should. You know, hold my feet to the fire on this one. I totally deserve it. I was wrong. Minnesota like played terrible at the end of that game though. Like Dawson Garcia had back to back to back turnovers. Just could not figure it out in the last 2 minutes of those in that game. So I'm embarrassed. But really they should be, 'cause like I wasn't the one playing, to be
Well, I was gonna
honest.
say, at least you come back and own it, right? You know, not
True.
everybody else comes and owns it. So,
True, true, true.
we want to thank Philip for being here. We want to thank John, who was in the chat early. He said, "I hate to chalk things up to an immediate L, but fun fact with IU at Wisconsin, Indiana hasn't won at the Kohl Center since Bob Knight in 1998." Yikes! That is quite the stat, quite the pull there, John. We appreciate you coming in and giving that pull. And I responded. I said, "I don't know anybody that's done all that well at the Kohl Center." Sounds like the only one. You know him, Matt Painter. 7-8 against Wisconsin on the road. And I think that's the best place for us to start in our power rankings. Thanks for starting there for us, John. We are going to talk Purdue, Michigan State, because obviously Kent and I have that different. Then we're going to talk about kind of the next tier, the 3 through 7, I'd say. Then the tier after that seems to be 8 through 11. And then the tier after that seems to be 12 through 15. And then you got your kind of bottom of the barrel, Minnesota, Northwestern, Washington for Kent. I have Northwestern a little bit higher, but I'm willing to kind of throw them in the bottom of the barrel to talk about them there. Because I do think if you take into the fact of Brooks Barnhuizer not playing, that does put them lower. But I'm going to give them a chance. I want to see what they are without Brooks Barnhuizer. I'm going to give them a chance because they were still close in that Wisconsin game. But yeah. So we'll see. And then after that, if we have time, we'll get to Kent's comments on
Ooh.
his tweet. So he put it out early enough this morning. I think he's got some comments. So, all right, Kent, let's start with it. Michigan State, Purdue. I think Purdue has better wins this season. I think that Purdue, coming from the change with Caleb first into the starting lineup, has been much better for him. I'm not trying to disparage Michigan State, but I don't think they've played a super tough Big Ten schedule, which has contributed to some of what has given them kind of the good season, which, to be fair, like everybody has kind of lost to a team they shouldn't have, right? And Michigan State just had that happen against USC. So, like, Purdue lost at home to Ohio State. Then Purdue also answered and destroyed Michigan at home. So it's like, you know, what are we gonna do with all this here? So it is an interesting conversation. I feel like Purdue is above Michigan State. I'm not super solid on that, but what are your thoughts? Obviously, you have Michigan State above Purdue. What are your thoughts?
I will boil it down to just this thought. I think that the losses is where I went to separate these two. And from my end, I still have USC just barely as a like top half Big Ten team, right at number 9. And I still think that they're really good. I love watching USC. I actually tweeted about this. I think they're my favorite team this year, just as a pure entertainment value team. They're really fun to watch. Love, love, love USC. Wesley Yates fan club leader right here. But because that's their only loss.
Tweeted at you, so that helps.
Did he?
No. USC did.
Oh, yeah. Plus, yeah. They're big casual Big Ten fans, too. So that's another reason. No, but because they're a top half team and Michigan State lost to them on the road, I look at Purdue's losses in conference and it's a top half for you, Ohio State team. For me, I have Ohio State as a bottom half team and Penn State, we both agree, is like near the bottom. So those two losses, I compare that to Michigan State's loss and I just say Michigan State in conference. Now, out of conference, like we can have the discussion like who's had the better season. But I think at like when you're just looking at the Big Ten stuff right now, I still think that Michigan State has the edge, even though they haven't played the hardest Big Ten schedule. They still have had the least amount of slip ups. And I still think they've had the most complete conference season so far. Big one tomorrow. UCLA playing really good right now. I'm very excited about that game. Really excited about tomorrow night.
How much do you take into consideration, like, the numbers, like net, Ken Palm, all that stuff? Do you take that into consideration at all with your power?
Zero. Absolutely none. Like, I actually still haven't paid for my Ken Palm subscription this year.
Wow.
I feel like it's late.
Basketball fan? Wow.
It's late enough in the season at this point where it's like, do I need to? Plus, it's, like, so available. Like, everyone's tweeting it out all the time. It's like, do I really need to have access to that? I'm just with CBB Analytics right now, like. They've been really like that website alone. I'm spending enough time on looking at all those stats. So I don't do the net and the Ken Palm stuff. The net thing is like, I still don't fully grasp it. I think you and Sonny were talking about this a little bit at some point on someone's show. I don't really understand it. And I feel like it gets skewed a little bit if you blow somebody out. So I don't really respect the net maybe, but maybe it's because I'm scared and I don't understand it.
I don't really take into account the net ranking as much as I do like the whole quad one, quad two system,
yeah,
stuff like that. Like, I think that is a good system for kind of measuring wins and losses and stuff. But like Purdue is number one in the Big Ten in net. Michigan State is 6 in the Big Ten in net. I mean,
that's
they're
tough.
Both top 20, you know. But at the end of the
but
day,
it's because like, I think it's because like Michigan State hasn't really like how many teams have they blown out? You know, like Purdue blew out Michigan, like for their net ranking, I'm assuming that really boosted them up, right? Because it takes into account of how much you won by, right?
I think all of them do. Maybe Torvik is the only one that doesn't. I don't remember about Torvik, But yeah, I mean, if you blow a team out, it typically is going to give you more credit in a lot of different areas.
I feel like for the net, though, it's like more skewed towards like margin of victory.
It could be.
I could be wrong about that. I'm a casual dude. Leave me alone, man.
So my biggest thing with Michigan State is like they were resting on that North Carolina win as their biggest win of the season, right? And then they beat Illinois. And that Illinois win looked really good. And then Illinois went on their losing streak and they bounced back against Ohio State. So, like, I get what you're saying about losses, but I also think you have to have a conversation about wins, too. North Carolina and Illinois are good wins. I'm not taking anything away from those. But you look at Purdue and who they've beaten. They beat Alabama. They beat at Oregon, which I know Illinois did too, but Oregon doesn't look like the best team ever, but still, at Oregon, Michigan, Like, Alabama is the best win out of all of those, and I know that was earlier in the season, but as far as I'm concerned, like, I don't know. I look at this Purdue team and say, yeah, that maybe they have dropped a few more games than they should have, but ever since Caleb first got inserted into that starting lineup, Matt Painter's just really, really found something. And the only reason they lost to Ohio State is because Braden Smith had one game where he wasn't superhuman. You know,
Yeah.
like, I
I
don't
feel
know.
like for this conversation, I always just like pull out old reliable and like blow it off real quick. Who do you think wins on a neutral court between Michigan State and Purdue right now? I still think it's Michigan State.
I think it's Purdue, though.
Okay. That's fair. You're
Yeah.
wrong, but it's fair. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you know what? We're going to find out on Tuesday, February 18th at Michigan State. It's not going to be a neutral floor, but we're going to find out. So.
I'll make some phone calls and see if we can get that moved to a neutral.
Yes. Okay.
We'll go play it at Spieth Fieldhouse that they turned into the pickleball courts. It's like in near Fort Wayne or whatever in
Yeah.
northern Indiana. So it'll be a nice neutral location.
Yeah. And Philip is right. Michigan State, they're about to go through a tough stretch. They have some absolutely, you know, really difficult games coming up because the first half of their Big Ten schedule was pretty, I'm not gonna say it was easy, but they played most of the lower half of the Big Ten teams in there. They got UCLA, Illinois, Purdue, Michigan twice, Wisconsin, Oregon at home, but the way Oregon's playing right now, I don't know if I'd put them up in that tier. I mean, they're at Iowa, which I know Iowa's not great, but at Iowa is still, you know, difficult looking at. So, they have two quad two games left, and the rest of them are quad one. That is pretty insane.
They blew like a 10-point lead at Iowa in like less than a minute last year, so that is always a tough game for them. But I did see a graphic. I think all three, the top three teams that I have right now, have like all Michigan State's is definitely the hardest schedule for the remainder of the season, but they're really close though. Like Purdue has a tough schedule coming up, like because they all have to play each other again. Like Purdue has to go to Michigan and play that rematch. Like so, I feel like those three teams are very close. You're right. Michigan State has the toughest one, but everybody has a tough schedule, like coming down the stretch. Like almost everybody's games are quad one because everyone in this conference is playing really, I think, well, the top half playing really well. So, like, I think everyone has a tough stretch.
It is. It's a tough stretch for everybody. I think I just highlight Michigan State's because Michigan State did have somewhat of a, you know, easier stretch going on there. Not easy, but easier.
Yeah, I just feel
Chris.
like it was really easy to jump on them after their first loss and just say, okay, that was their tough game. Like, they're not as good as we thought they were. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think they're a pretty good basketball team. I think they're really good still.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from Michigan State. Like, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, they're not as good as we thought they were. Still think they're pretty freaking
Yeah,
darn
I
good.
mean, you have met too, so it's not like, yeah.
Yeah, I just think Purdue's pretty freaking darn good too after they figured out their whole five-man situation. So,
I agree.
all right. So, Chris L says Wisconsin and Oregon are so overrated in the AP poll. I mean, we've talked about this. Chris, I could not agree with you more. Like, the AP poll is nothing to me in college basketball. Those writers have no idea what they're doing, how they're ranking. It's almost impossible to do week to week nationally with everything that's going on. They want to not try to move people all that much, but then you get upsets and everything else. Like, the AP poll means nothing to me. If we want to go by what, you know, actually means something, it's the numbers to me. KenPom, Torvik, Net to a certain extent. Like, those are the things that actually mean something to me. As far as the AP poll, like, if you rank 20th, but your KenPom is like 60th, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
It's a fun conversation. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it doesn't mean a lot to me either, but it's fun to have the conversation. Like, I tweeted last night, who do you think should be ranked this week? Oregon, 100%. Like, some people put Oregon as a team that still should be ranked.
No.
And you go
No,
back to
just
like
not.
what you said a few minutes ago about the quad one wins. I still think that they have, I didn't research this. They had like what, eight quad one wins or nine or whatever it is at this point. So they have a lot of quad one wins. But they're on a like three game losing streak right now. You cannot rank this team right now. They cannot be in the top five or top 25. Did the
They're
rankings come out
eight.
already?
No, they come out later this afternoon.
Okay.
But I think Chris L is advocating for both of them to move down lower,
Yeah.
which I agree with. Yeah, so they've lost four of their last five. Their only win in that stretch was against Washington. I mean, listen to their quad one wins at Penn State, at Ohio State, Maryland at home, at USC, Alabama, San Diego State, Texas A&M, at Oregon State. Like the fact that at Oregon State is still a quad one
That's
win,
wild.
that is kind of wild. So like I said, I like the net system for quad ones and stuff like that, but there's just certain aspects of it that I'm not a huge fan of. So Blue Wolverine here with us. Say morning all. Thank you, Blue Wolverine. Morning to you too. Appreciate you being here. Always love a good Blue Wolverine sighting. And Philip says MSU has closing game problems. Against USC they did. We'll see how it turns out. I will be judging Michigan State much more harshly in this stretch coming up. And everybody listen to Sonny. Hit the like button. Appreciate JR's insights. Kent too, but Sonny appreciates mine. I get it. I get it, Sonny. All right. Let's go ahead. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Blue Wolverine gifted 10 Big Ten Huddle podcast memberships to people. Thank you for doing that, Blue Wolverine. If you are so lucky to get a membership from Blue Wolverine, please do let us know in the comments. We'd love to see who our new members are. Thank you so much for doing that, Blue Wolverine. That's huge. All right. All right. Kent, our next portion here does involve the Wolverines. You have them at third. I have them down at fifth. It's nothing against Michigan. I think Michigan's a good team. I do still have some concerns that haven't been met this year, but overall they do some things really well. I have Maryland up at three, which I know Philip loves. And then I've kept Illinois at four. You have Illinois down at six, and then UCLA is five and six for us, and then we agree on Wisconsin down at seven. Tough for Wisconsin to move down, but I mean, other teams in this area just kind of won, and the other teams that lost also won and didn't have bad losses. So this entire three through seven here was really difficult to kind of manage and put together. Give us your thought process for Michigan at three.
I had Michigan at three last week, kept them right there because they won both their games this week. And we just talked about Michigan State having problems closing games. If they like, if you believe that, I don't necessarily think that they do for every game. But anyways, back to Michigan, they closed out two really close games. Like the Penn State game looked like it was going to be a loss. I actually sent you a meme that I had ready to go if Michigan was going to lose to Penn State. And then I had to just put that in the back pocket because Trey Donaldson came down and hit a massive three and got Michigan a win at home against Penn State. And then same thing against Rutgers, was making a little push the other day, trying to come back in that game, and they closed that game out. So two wins for them, already had them at three. Rutgers was a team that I thought was on the upswing, and they went to Rutgers on a weekend when it was a pretty lively crowd and got a big win. So I thought that Michigan had a fine enough week to stay right there. And then you said we're comparing them like with just the rest of that little grouping right there. Maryland's playing really well. Like, I have to show Maryland some respect. I like them a lot. So I moved them up a little bit. Illinois, I moved down because, yes, they won yesterday, but they also lost this week. And we've been talking about this for a while now. Like, at some point, the results of the games have to matter. You have to like move. For me, I think that they've lost enough games that the teams that I have in front of them deserve to be in front of them. So that's just where I am with that.
I think EA is right. I think February is going to tell a lot about this Maryland team if they took the next step for them. They look like they have in some areas, but it's a long season, and Derek Queen and the big men and Kindthose guards keep playing well together. It's a big question mark for them. So, well, not a big question mark. It's something that they have to continue to do well, and to see how it's going to work. Philip says Willard is going to Willard. My words is as high as Maryland gets. I mean, we'll see. Maryland has surprised me in some ways. I mean, they're kind of like that plucky team that she's keeps racking up wins and keeps doing what they're supposed to do. And if they get knocked down, they get back up and they respond with another win against somebody. So, like, as far as I'm concerned, Maryland's just one of those teams that gets out there and does a good job. Illinois, for me, like, I feel like they're better than what they have shown, but I also realize that I'm one of those people that many people complain about, where it's like, well, look at the results and what happened. And it's like, I do look at the results, but like, I also think Ohio State was on a three-game losing streak and playing really well. They beat Purdue, they beat at Penn State, They won against Iowa at home, which Iowa is not a very good road team, but still, they blew them out, blew out Penn State on the road. Like, I don't know. Like, I think Ohio State was playing some pretty good basketball. I actually moved them up in my rankings, even though they lost at Illinois. I actually moved them up, and I only moved Illinois down one slot. And the only reason I did is because Maryland beat Illinois. I still think Maryland's probably going to be a better team at the end of the year, but I also realize saying that is also kind of stupid because Maryland literally beat Illinois. I will say without a Visich, but still, I mean, that's kind of been the story of this Illinois team, right? Is, well, it was without this player, it was without this player. Well, okay, Brad, maybe your team is a Final Four team with everything together, but you got to show that you are still a really good team, even when you don't have pieces there, because every team deals with that. Every team deals with not having pieces there. Ohio State hasn't had Meechie Johnson for almost the entire year. I mean, there's been other teams with other players that have been hurt and injured and stuff like that that have been out for points of this year. I mean, Northwestern didn't have Brooke Barnhizer for the first four games of the season, which isn't as bad, but still, and they don't have Brooke Barnhizer for the rest of the year. So, you know, this is just kind of the way things go. But I do.
Keisei Tominaga hasn't played for Nebraska all season. So, like, no
Hasn't played.
excuses. Like, he's been out all year. It's
There you
so
go.
weird. Every time I turn them on, I'm like, where is he?
And Rank Mast. Rank Mast too.
And him, yeah.
He's actually out though. So,
Yeah.
but I think this like 3 through 7 is the most like on the edge for me. Like it, almost any game can like break it, and like they could completely swap and just randomize anywhere again. So this is probably going to be the most fun little section to mess with in my mind for the games coming up. Unless one of these teams just completely, you know, falls apart, like Wisconsin loses to, I don't even know who they play next, Penn State or something like that. It probably wouldn't change much. All right,
Yeah.
let's go to, oh, you want, I mean, is
I
there
was
anything
just gonna
else
say
you
one more
want
thing about Illinois. It's just like their season, I think Rothstein tweeted about this last night, has been a roller coaster. Like,
to?
literally, it's been volatile, and it's the like most volatile like fan base to have a season like this too, where it's like, do you have a great win in conference? Kind of. Like, you beat Wisconsin, but then lately, who have you beaten that you really respect? And then do you have bad losses? Like, yeah, they do. I think at the time, I thought the Maryland loss was bad, especially by the margin that it was. I thought the Nebraska loss at the time, like, it's like when they beat or when they lose to a team, you're like, oh my God, that was terrible. How did Nebraska like beat Illinois? That's crazy. And then Nebraska starts playing well, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess it's good. So it's so hard with Illinois to really figure it out. Plus, with you add on the injuries, and you're like, I don't know what this team is. It's just been a roller coaster. You know that they're very talented. You know they have a good coach. You know what they can be. And then you look at the results, and it's just massively confusing to try to figure this team out. So, and like I said, the worst fan base to have it happen to, too, because they're not in the best way. Like, I'm saying that as a compliment. They're so active, and like you just can't. It's hard to rank them, and then they're very active, and they're like, well, this happened, this happened, and you're like, well, this happened and this happened. So really tough for Illinois. I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. And John, letting us know, he did say at the beginning, Wisconsin plays Indiana, and they play tomorrow. So yeah, that'll. I mean, I don't think I'm gonna, like fire away at Wisconsin if they lose to Indiana at home, but it definitely would be concerning for Wisconsin, and they need to win their next game after that if they do that. But I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna happen though. I think Wisconsin probably wins that one. But
Me too.
I also thought Purdue would beat Ohio State. So who knows? It is what it is. All right. Next kind of section is Oregon, USC, Nebraska, and Ohio State for you. I have them Ohio State, USC, Nebraska, and Oregon. I am not buying the Oregon stock anymore. I do appreciate that, you know, the numbers and stuff like that generally stay pretty firm on a team even when they go through a losing streak or a losing stretch. Like Nebraska didn't drop outside of the top 50 when they were on their kind of losing stretch. At least I don't think they did. So I did appreciate that. But I mean, Oregon right now, they're just plummeting. Like they're getting to like 40 range after being in the top 10 at one point. Like Oregon is just plummeting at this point, and I feel kind of bad for Dana Altman because I do think Dana Altman is like putting stuff together. But you look at him on the sideline, like he is He is just beside himself with what he's watching out there. And I think it's truly that he has players that are just panicking at this point. And I didn't expect that from Jackson Schellstad. I didn't expect that from Nate Biddle, but that's kind of what you're getting from this Oregon team right now. We'll see if they can put it together. They put it together at the end of the year last year in the Pac-12 tournament, and that's how they got to the NCAA tournament. Dana Altman's still a really good coach, but as far as I'm concerned, like, you got him up at eighth. I get it. I personally wouldn't put him that high. I still think Ohio State has shown more than Oregon has lately. But as far as I'm concerned, like, Oregon is kind of in that UCLA range right now. Remember we were saying, like, UCLA is make or break right now for the season? Like, that's kind of where Oregon is right now. For their last five, they've lost. They got at Michigan, at Michigan State, Northwestern, Rutgers. They're going to need to win one of those Michigan-Michigan State games if they want to remain kind of in the top half of Big Ten contention. What's your thoughts?
I think that they're going to have to play way better because they couldn't win at Minnesota. So you're talking about going to like two of the best teams in the conference and winning at their place in a single week. Yikes. I'm worried about them. I put them at eighth strictly and literally put them there. And in my mind, I said, this is the last week I'm giving them any respect. I see that you didn't even wait this week. You moved them down outside of the top 10, which maybe I should have because you look at what they've just done. The results just don't warrant a top 10 Big Ten team right now.
And
They're
it wasn't even the loss to Nebraska. It was what you said. It was the loss at Minnesota and then backing that up with a blowout loss at UCLA. At least be competitive. At least put up 60 points. You gave up nearly 80 and couldn't even score 55 on UCLA. Like, come on.
that's it's when you look back at it now, you go all the way back to that Illinois game and you're like, ooh, maybe that is like what this Oregon team is like. Oh man, this is a bad sign. At the time, I thought this was just a bad night. It might have been a bad sign for like what was coming the rest of the season. So I gave them respect for one more week, but I'm not making any picks. I'm done making picks, but I don't think they're going to win this week. I think they lose both of those games. I'm worried about them finding even one win, especially when the Michigan State one is a weekend game. That place is going to be rocking, ready to go get a win. Michigan's already tough enough to win at. So, yeah, I see them trending downward definitely. Like next week, I could see like them at 13, maybe even like after back-to-back losses. And then you look at what they've done in the last couple of weeks. It'll be if they lose both of those, it'll be six out of the last seven will be losses. It's not good. Not
Yeah,
good
it's
for Oregon.
not good. Philip asked how much of Oregon's struggles do you put on travel? I mean, if they were winning at home, sure.
Right.
But they're not winning at home. Like, they lost to Purdue at home, they lost to Nebraska. Like, they're 1 of 3 in their last three home games. Like, they did beat Maryland at home back at the beginning of January, and but then that was after Illinois spanked them at home. So, like, maybe it's on the struggles of the travel and everything else, but if it is, like, it's not looking good against the Michigan teams. Philip says Oregon goes 1-on-1 in Michigan. If they do, chalk that up to a huge success because
Yeah.
that's what you need right now. You need to win one of those two games. I think probably Michigan is the one that's more likely, and that's nothing against Michigan. I agree with you, Michigan State at Michigan State on a weekend. Them losing their last game, trying to respond. Do they have a game before that Oregon
Yeah, they're
game?
playing UCLA tomorrow.
UCLA. So if they lose that UCLA game too, like, they're gonna be coming back from this West Coast trip. They're gonna want to respond. So,
They're going to be
I mean,
hungry for
obviously, anything
sure.
wants to respond.
Here's the way I like to, like, I just thought of this. I think that Nebraska is the most middle of this conference team at this moment. If you lose to Nebraska, you can arguably say that you're below the middle. So you're a lower half team, even though I have Oregon in front still. If you beat Nebraska, you can arguably say you're in the top half. Now that you can't go result by result and say that, but you also just cannot lose to Nebraska at home. If you're telling me that you're a top half team and you're going to compete, and I had them as high as three or two at some point in this season. Like Oregon was playing really well. You cannot lose to Nebraska at home. No disrespect to Nebraska. I think that they've been playing really well, but you can't be a really good team and lose to them at home. You just can't do that. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
you mean on your home floor?
Right.
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah. Like what Oregon just did? What was that yesterday? Right?
Yeah, yeah. Losing at Nebraska is a little bit more understandable and manageable. But yeah, if you're at home, you can't lose to them. Morning Fisherman, 2025 Natty Champs. Appreciate you being here. He also says Ohio State is a middle team as well. They are. I mean, maybe things would be different if they had, you know, didn't have so many injuries this season, and maybe they had Michi Johnson back, but I contend they're playing better without Michi Johnson in some areas, you know. But yeah, they think Ohio State's a pretty tough team to rank, because you and I were kind of the opposite on Ohio State, like we are the opposite on Oregon. And you know me, Kent, like I'm the opposite of a homer for Ohio State. I picked them to be my disappointing team in the Big Ten this season. Like, even though I'm an Ohio State fan, like I am not super high on this Ohio State team, but I also feel like I need to give them their flowers. When they beat Purdue, when they beat Iowa, you know, blow them out. When they go to Penn State, blow them out. Like, I realize Penn State is a bottom tier team in the Big Ten, but still, like, how many, we saw Purdue go to Penn State and get blown out. So, like, obviously this is a team that has capabilities at home, even though they've not always shown it all season. So for me, Ohio State, and they gave Illinois a really good game. They led Illinois for most of that game. It just so happened Illinois came back and won it there at the end when they decided to stop shooting three-pointers, which, like, good on you, Brad. Thank you for doing that. I mean, not thank you for me, but Illinois fans, thank you for doing that. But as far as I'm concerned, like, yeah, Ohio State's a tournament team. They played a really tough schedule this season. I think that they've had some ups and downs, but overall, like, if they win the games they're supposed to win to finish the season, they're a tournament team. They're going to play Maryland. They got Washington and Northwestern still. They have Nebraska at home. You know, they still have their West Coast stretch coming up against UCLA and USC, or their LA stretch, I guess I should say. So we'll see what happens there. But for the most part, like, as long as Ohio State doesn't collapse, they should still be a tournament team.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of mentioned this. I'll just start from the beginning. I think Ohio State is a slightly less talented version of Illinois. They're very difficult to figure out. Their wins are really good. I don't think that they have, like, a really terrible, terrible loss. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But who has a better road win than Ohio State right now in this conference? I don't think you could say anyone does, because no one's won at Michigan State, which is a really tough place to win. And only one team has won at Mackey this year, if I'm not mistaken, and that's Ohio State. And I think that those are the two, like, arguably the two hardest places to win. And you could throw some other, like, arenas in there and, like, other student sections that make it really difficult to win. But Ohio State going and getting that win, you can argue, and then you go back to the rest of their schedule. They beat Kentucky. You're like, okay, that was a good win. Like, they have these really good wins, but then it's like they don't have enough wins to be able to say we're going to put them way up high in our Big Ten power rankings right now. So that's what makes it tough about them. That's why I like to compare them to Illinois. It's very tough to, like, analyze what the wins versus the losses. But here's what I'll say. I said this about Illinois last week on Lockdown Illini with Sonny. This is a Ohio State team that you do not want to play in Indianapolis next month. You do not want to see them in the Big Ten tournament. You want to avoid them at all costs because they're super dangerous. Just proved it. They won at Purdue. They can beat anybody. So if you're, you know, like a 2 or a 3 seed and you're seeing them, like, they have a path to come to you on a Friday in the Big Ten tournament, you're not excited about that, because Ohio State is a good team. And a dangerous team, I should say, was a better word to say.
Yeah, I mean, that backcourt offers a lot of danger for any opponent they face. They have to figure out front court, pretty much. Sean Stewart didn't play yesterday. I think Aaron Bradshaw played well in the first half. Devin Royal did well in the first half, but a lot of his damage was kind of from beyond the arc and stuff. I think he went 3 for 5 in the first half after being like 4 for 20 on the season from behind the arc. So, like, as far as I'm concerned, Ohio State is going to really test you on the perimeter, but when it comes down to getting into the paint, they foul a lot on defense, and they don't have great finishers down low. So if they can correct that and, you know, kind of scheme around that, this is a team that can be very dangerous. It's just, I mean, this is Jake Diebler going to have to show that he's a good coach, right? Like, he can't just come in and take a team now and do something that teams weren't expecting, because it was around this time last year that he got the job. He's going to have to actually come in and, you know, scheme some things up and work on things in the middle of the season. So we'll see if they can make it happen. I think I like Jake Diebler. Again, I don't know if he's the best, if he was the best coaching option, but for the most part, I like what he's done this season for Ohio State, and I also do recognize the injuries and stuff like that they've had. So,
I was just looking
all
at
right.
this. Sorry, one last thing about Ohio State,
Okay.
because I was just remembering this from 2 years ago at the Big Ten tournament when they were a 13 seed. I had to look this up. Beat Wisconsin on Wednesday, beat Iowa on Thursday, beat Michigan State on Friday. Like it's giving me flashbacks to that type of team that could have a lower ranking in the Big Ten tournament, but still go on a big run because they're dangerous. And some of the same players still from that team 2 years ago.
Yeah, Bruce Thornton, back from that team. Evan Mahaffey, Evan Mahaffey, no, Evan Mahaffey was last year when they went on their little bit of a
I guess
run.
one of the same players then. Bruce
Well,
Thornton
I'm
is all
sure
I'm thinking about because he's my favorite player from that team.
he. I really like Bruce Thornton as well.
I do too.
All right, okay, we got to move on if we want to get to all the teams, and especially if we want to get to the comments. So I
Okay.
apologize. We won't have much on USC and Nebraska, but just know we like USC. We like Nebraska, especially Kent. He loves USC.
Love them.
When they tweet at you, that's what you get. All right, Iowa, Indiana, Rutgers, Penn State is kind of the next group there. I don't know if we have a whole lot on that. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. We agree Iowa over Indiana. I do have Northwestern up at 14, but I totally get why you have them down at 17 without Brooks Barnhizer. I'm still going to give them a chance, so I'm kind of ranking them or rating them as I normally would. We'll see what happens without Brooks Barnhizer. You're giving a little bit more love to Rutgers, so I guess let's start there. Your thoughts on Rutgers and moving them up a little bit more.
Towards the bottom of this, I was, like I said, this week I was kind of giving up. So, like, I guess I'd have to pull up Rutgers' schedule to see what I was thinking at 6 a.m. this morning. But a couple of good wins the last couple of weeks. I can't remember exactly who they were against, but they were playing well the last couple of weeks. So I bumped them up. I do think that I had one for sure that was flip-flopped. I think it might have been Minnesota and Washington. Or Rutgers and Penn State. I can't remember if Penn State beat Rutgers, or maybe that's why I put Rutgers in front. Did they beat Penn State?
Who,
I needed like 10
Rutgers?
more seconds to pull up their schedule to figure
Rutgers
out what I was
beat.
doing.
Rutgers won at Northwestern on Wednesday, and then they didn't win, but they gave Michigan a very good game on Saturday, 66 to 63. That wasn't really a one score game because was it Harper made a three like at the buzzer or something like that? But that was still a really good game they gave to Michigan, and then they lost at Penn State
Okay, so that's what I
on
was saying
Wednesday.
is that they lost at Penn State, but I still put them in front of it because
They also
lately
beat
they actually
UCLA
have.
and at Nebraska. Like, they got some good wins.
Yeah, I
Sorry,
don't
go
know.
ahead.
I think that's why. I think that's why I looked at the overall schedule and I was like, they beat UCLA, they beat Nebraska, and they won at Northwestern, which I guess is not that big of an impressive win. But Penn State's schedule, like in that same time frame, was like the best win was Rutgers. So I was like, can I put him in front of him just because of that? Maybe I should have. I don't know. Didn't really care when I got to that point. So I just left it like that. I don't have a ton of thoughts about Rutgers other than like, unless Ace Bailey is God, they don't win. That's the only way they can win. And sometimes even when he is, they still lose.
I mean, I'm
Like he
thinking
had
back to that Indiana
37 in that
game.
last in that game against what was it? No, they won that game. Never mind. I was thinking of the game against Northwestern, 37,
No,
and
I
they
think
actually
you're
won
probably
that
thinking
game.
about that game against Indiana when he put up 39 and they still lost by 10. Like,
Yeah, that one.
that was the game when Dylan Harper wasn't there, and it's kind of been, Dylan Harper less in some games, and then some games Dylan Harper comes back. I mean, we'll see what happens with Rutgers. I think Minnesota and Washington are pretty squarely at the bottom of the Big Ten. We both have them in the bottom three. I guess let's touch on Northwestern really fast, and then we'll get to a couple comments on your power rankings, and then get out of here.
Okay.
Northwestern. I did a video on them. I think Northwestern is a really tough stretch coming up. Losing Brooks Barnhizer is absolutely devastating in my mind. I do think there's some efficiency numbers that Brooks Barnhizer wasn't great with, so I do think
Right.
there's possibly an opportunity to be a little bit more efficient without Brooks Barnhizer. But with his usage rate and everything else, like I don't know where that usage goes, and I'm confident. I feel I mean, obviously it goes somewhere, but I don't know where it goes, and I feel confident about it. Like, do I feel confident about Ty Berry getting more usage, Jalen Leach getting more use? Like, I don't feel confident about Matthew Nicholson getting more offensive usage, maybe more defensive production, but for the most part, Brooks Bonhartzer not being with this team is a huge blow. Do you have any hope for Nebraska, or for not Nebraska, Northwestern moving forward?
I always have hope for them because I love Chris Collins and I love the team in general, but you're really relying on guys like Jalen Leach and freshmen to come in and take over those minutes that Brooks is leaving on the table. So I think that they're going to be a very competitive team, and I think they're going to lose a lot of games down the stretch. Like, they're going to be tough, they're going to play hard, they're going to be in games, and they're not going to be able to finish them because they're just not going to have the guys to be able to do it. Nick Martinelli's a great player, but he's not a guy that you can just say, all right, we're going to put the whole team on your back and you're going to will us to victories on the road in the Big Ten. Like, he's not, I don't know. He's a great player. I'll just leave it at that. So I think Northwestern will be competitive. I just don't think they're going to be able to finish games. And I love them still. I'm still pulling for them to win some of these games, but I have a bad feeling that they're going to find themselves in the bottom three and not make it to Indianapolis, unfortunately.
For sure. It's going to be tough, especially with that schedule moving forward. Dylan DK is here. He says, out here teaching equivalent factions. Hey, Dylan, I'm glad you checked in. You can see Purdue up there at that one for you. So I'm happy for you there. You get to check in on that while you're at school. So go mold young minds, Dylan. That's kind of scary to think about.
Just tell them to throw us up on the smart board. The kids would rather watch this anyways, I'm sure.
They would. We use good language, you know? Like, you're not going to have a bunch of bad language in school, so
yeah.
Throw us up on the smart board.
They'll start throwing stuff at my side of the screen when they see Purdue behind Michigan State.
Well, he's in Dayton, though. So.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was in Indiana.
So, not to dox Dylan, but...
Yeah.
I won't give his address.
What's his address? Yeah, tell us his address.
All right. Okay, so what you want to do any comments on your... on your tweet before we get
on here. Let's see. Let's go to it because I haven't looked at them at all yet. I got 20, so let's see. I got someone said Washington literally just beat Minnesota, and I said correct back to them. It's the only one I saw this morning. It is correct. They did just beat Minnesota, and I still stack up Minnesota's wins better than Washington's, and I'll end by saying we're talking about the bottom three teams in the conference, and nobody cares also. So
yeah. Yeah,
that's one.
There's some people saying Wisconsin over Illinois.
Yeah, I really thought about that, but then I remembered that they played and Illinois won.
Yeah, that's kind of a.
That's so. It was tough. It was tough. I was like, yeah, I want, because I like Wisconsin too. You know, another one of my favorite. I like so many teams. I just love this conference when it comes to basketball. But I actually really wanted to do that this morning. I was like, all right, Wisconsin. Top five. And then I was like, they're not better than UCLA. And then I was like, okay, I can put them in front of Illinois, though. And then, like, I can make the Illinois people really mad at me. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, crap, they played and Illinois won. So that's what changed it for me. Somebody just said dumb. I'm not sure if he's talking about – he can't be talking about me because I'm not dumb.
He's just declaring that he's dumb. Like,
oh, okay, wow, okay.
I can't understand this. I'm dumb.
Yeah. Okay. Wallace said, hey man, good rankings. That's rare on this app, by the way, for anyone to say good. I like this comment right here. It says it's from Saturday in Fay. They said, why isn't blank above blank with the mad face? Which is so appropriate. A lot of people asking if, like, a lot of people not asking, demanding that Maryland gets ranked today. Like, people are really concerned about that. They need Maryland in the top 25 this week, which I think is going to happen.
I mean, I think it is too, but again, I just think the AP poll in basketball is so overrated in so many different ways. But
all right, we'll end on this one. Blaine said Iowa too high. They'll be lower in a few weeks. Do you think I have Iowa too high?
I don't get, like, people look at these things and they say, oh, well, your predictions suck. And it's like, oh, well, they're not predictions. So
Yeah.
Like, power rankings are not predictions. Nobody seems to understand this. Like, it's like,
oh, one last thing. I'm sorry, I gotta do this one too. Because I want to get to Phillip's thing. I didn't read it yet, Phillip, but Brutus said SC beat Michigan State. Yeah. Yeah, they did. A lot of people have lost games. Like, okay, so let's do it by who everyone has beat. So we got Penn State in front of Purdue, right? Because they beat them. Like, everyone picks out one game and says, like, this team beat that team, so why don't you have them in front? It's like, well, they've also played other games. You do realize that, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they do. I think they just go, like, hey, this just happened. So what are you thinking?
I think some people genuinely think that, like, we don't pay attention to the Big Ten. And so they're like, oh, hey, we're just letting you know. Like, USC beat Michigan State. It's like, yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
It's
I like,
fine.
Like, great game. I love USC. Good job.
Yeah.
And then there was this rest of the season. All right, sorry.
I was just going to read what Phillip said. Phillip said Illinois won 9 straight against Wisconsin.
Sheesh.
I mean, it's hard to try and justify Wisconsin over Illinois when they've won, and especially on a winning streak like that. I know past results and different seasons don't matter all that much, but still, coaching matchup, you know, Greg Gard, Brad Underwood.
There's actually a coach in this conference that's undefeated at the Kohl Center.
Who's that?
Dusty May.
Oh, there you go. So maybe
Dusty 1-0.
There you go. I should have known that earlier when I was talking about the Kohl Center and who's won there. All right, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Kent, anything else you want to get to before you get out of here?
Nope. I'm starting to do every Thursday on Twitter. So I guess there's one thing. I said nope, and then I said something. Every Thursday morning, I'm doing the updated, if the season ended right now, Big Ten tournament brackets, getting me real jacked up for the tournament coming up. I'm getting real excited. We're starting to talk about restaurants we're going to. We're staying really close to Gainbridge too. So nice. I'm like wondering which team is going to be staying in the same hotel as us. So that'll be really exciting. So I can, like, you know, go hang out with maybe Dana Altman. Maybe I get to hang out with him. That'd be cool.
There you go. I know some good spots in Indianapolis. I'll have to text them to you.
Please do.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Yep. If you're going to the NCAA tournament, it's going to be a fun time. Indianapolis, great place.
Big Ten tournament.
Big Ten tournament. A lot of stuff in my mind.
I'll promote one more thing. I'm selling the old Big Ten tournament logo t-shirt. Get that out. Get that. Go buy JR shirts first. I think they're like right below if you're watching on YouTube. But then go check out mine. I'm selling the tournament one. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do that. If the Big Ten's listening, they're probably going to try to like take it down. So get it right now while you can before I get sued.
It might be completely gone. So.
It might be.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time. And yeah, we got other stuff coming up. You know the schedule, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.